Yesterday, I think I got this reality, this kind of a shock reality, not so much a shock, but pleasant shock, that Thanksgiving and Christmas are already right here on top of us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it seems like the year has just gone so fast. So I'm already thinking, how are we going to cook the turkey and who's coming over and all that kind of stuff. But really a encouraging time of year, time of relationships and celebration. I've been having an opportunity to talk to a variety of family members that I haven't spoke to in a long time, relationships that I haven't connected with in a long time. I got a phone call in the summertime from an old friend that I used to work with a long time ago. Some of my first years at Sparklets Water, when I was delivering water there, had to be in, I don't even know what year that would have been, but 20 something years ago. But anyways, he calls me up out of the blue, shocked that he even had my number, shocked that his name popped up on my screen. It means I had his number in my phone. And I'm like, wow, talking to this guy. And he starts sharing with me about the relationship that we had on route and the times that I would share with him the gospel and pray for him. And he told me he's going to be marrying this gal that also worked at Sparklets at the time and asked if I would do their wedding. And I said, wow, man, you going to church somewhere? Yeah, we belong to a local church here. And I said, so you're around pastors and why are you calling me? And he's like, because I'll never forget the connection that we had. I'll never forget the relationship, the time you spent with me and encouraged me and my soon-to-be wife as well. So I say that because, and in light of these relationships, I spoke to a cousin last night that really haven't talked to in a long time. And I'm just reminded of this thought of connection. Connection. Having a genuine connection. There's nothing that expires when we have a genuine connection. So about a year ago, I get up in the morning and I'm walking out of my home to head to work. And as I get into my truck like I typically do, like we all do each day, and I go to start it and you hear the infamous click, 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 click. You know what that means, right? Well, sometimes we know what it means. But click, click, and I'm immediately, battery's dead. So I make the phone call, let whoever know that I'm not going to be in time. I've got to figure this battery thing out and get a ride to work or whatever. So I begin to process, and I immediately begin to engage this problem-solving thing. So I had already determined that my battery was dead. And then a few minutes later, I pop the hood and I open it up, and I just begin to look and grab a hold of the cables, and one of the cables were loose. Tightened up the cable, started the truck, it started right up. Connection. You could have the everything in the right place, and you can have the ability to go where you need to go, but if there's not a good connection, we're going to lose that which we intended to get. We've been talking about for a few weeks this understanding of being a fruitful Christian or a living a fruitful Christian life. And today I want to stick with this one of the three concepts that I presented a few times now about abide, become, and live. I want to talk about abide for a bit. But this understanding, we've been talking about John chapter 15 where in verse 8, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified speaks of our motivation ought to be to serve the Father. Our motivation ought to be to bring honor. Our motivation shouldn't be necessarily, primarily, to bear fruit, although that is an outcome of our motivation of being connected with the Father, of being in love God, I want to honor you with my life. I want to honor you in obedience. I want to do this because I know it honors you. I want to serve in this capacity because I know it honors you. That's the primary motivation. See, without a motivation like that, our fruit won't last because there'll be a disconnection. There'll be a break. You know, our battery cables. Interesting. You know, there's times to where I've looked at my truck before and trying to find what the problem is. I believe it's some kind of power issue or battery issue, and I end up running the cable down further down where it connects to the engine, you know, away from the battery, and find that the cable's swollen. It's nice and swollen. And right inside that swollen part, somehow the cable began to deteriorate and somehow it got corroded. And all of that corrosion in there causes this separation from real power. You know what I mean? And so that piece needs to be removed. That battery cable needs to be replaced or spliced. But usually anywhere you splice a battery cable, that's where it's going to begin to corrode again. So buy a new one. That's free. I'm not going to charge anybody from that, you know. It's free. Our lives truly honor God when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. By this, my Father is honored that you would bear much fruit. When we bear much fruit, speaks of the purpose that God's called us to do in our lives. There's only one thing that's going to truly bring satisfaction to yours and to my life. There's only one thing. And you can search it out, you can dig out many things, and you can find activity and trying to busy yourself with stuff, but there's only one thing that's going to bring true satisfaction. And that's going to be in an abiding relationship with Jesus and the outcome being fruit. There is no other thing that's going to bring satisfaction like a relationship we have with Christ. There is no other thing. Honor God, produce fruit, and prove. That word prove there, prove to be my disciples. Genomai is the Greek word for that, prove to be my disciples. And it's this concept of continue. Continuance, generate. Genomai is the word we get in the Greek from generate. Our word generate comes from the word genomai in Greek. And it speaks of generate. It speaks of continuing to produce this. By this my Father is honored that you would bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So the question I have for us even right now is, how much fruit do you want in your life? How much fruit do you want in your life? What kind of fruit do you want in your life? I'm not talking about just leading somebody to Christ kind of fruit. That counts by all means. That's a fruitful life. But fruit in terms of peace, in terms of rest, in terms of joy, in terms of connection with the Father, in terms of this outflow of character, this overflow of a life that's been connected with the Father, that's been connected in the vine of Christ. How much fruit do you want? Galatians chapter 5:22 tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and to such there is no law. How much fruit do we want in our life? How much fruit are we after? To answer that question, we'll find as we learn our way through this, if we can embrace and we can understand the reality of abiding, we'll find the answer to that and finding this fruit-bearing Christian life in this concept and understanding of abiding. Really, this threefold process that I mentioned, to abide, become, and live. When I say abide, talking about that place of connection. When I speak of become, what I'm talking about is this understanding of becoming. It's the process by which the Father uses to keep us growing and fruit productive in our lives. This becoming. And then live speaks of the continuance of an outflow. But understanding abiding. So when Christ was on the earth, we know that some of his key phrases, but one key phrase that Jesus said when he was on the earth was, come follow me. Come follow me. And I believe that you're here in this spot, in this place, because we came and followed. What comes and what happens when we come and follow? He says in Matthew, come follow me and I'll give you rest. Come after me and I'll bring peace to your life. This initial connection, this initial salvation, this initial relationship that we have with Christ, we understand it as being regenerated. When we get born again, what happens is our spirit man gets recreated and we encounter the living God and we accept and receive the life of God in us. This is what happens when Christ gives us rest. Come to me and I'll give you rest. But right before Jesus goes to heaven, he decides to take the disciples on a bit of a field trip. He takes them out at night and he shows them this important illustration, and he introduces them to a new language, a new word. Not only does he say, come to me, but he says, now abide in me. The language that Jesus uses that night is to abide. Abide in me and allow my word to abide in you. That understanding of abide, Jesus communicates to the disciples when he walks through this vineyard one night. So in John chapter 15, starting at verse 1, to read this, it says this, Jesus speaking here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me does not bear fruit. That does not bear fruit. He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So abide in me, and I in you, and the branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. So I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And then they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus is communicating in that first verse, I am the vine. He's saying that I'm the main trunk of this whole process. When I've got vines are throughout my house, around my house, and when I think of a vine, my tendency was to think of the little skinny green tendril, if you will, that runs along the trellis or runs up the wall like cat's claw. You know, the other day I'm getting ready, I'm in the bathroom, I look over, and I got cat's claw in my bathroom. No kidding. It's grown up the outside of my wall, which I knew I needed to cut that down, and I usually do, but that stuff grows so fast, doesn't it? Cat's claw, man, it just blew up the side of my house, and I pull it down, I cut it back, and then it seems like in 2 days later, it's all back all over the wall again. But somehow, it's grown in and under and between the studs, and it's growing up inside the wall, and it's coming out my bathroom window inside the house. So we're trimming that off regularly now as well. Nuts. But I think of a vine like that. I think of this long, green, skinny thing, right? I think of that as the vine. But it's not. Jesus says, I am the vine. He's the main trunk. He's the main vine is the trunk, and what produces fruit are the branches that come off that main vine. And off of that trunk, there's these tendrils that grow and get thicker, and there is what carries the fruit. And Jesus says, unless that branch abides in the vine, there will be no life. That connection right there where the trunk and the branch come out, there's a bit of a gnarl right there. There's a bit of a junction, if you will. That junction, like a battery cable on a battery, must be tight, must be close, must be connected, not stuttered, not any break in that relationship. That's the spot right there where the nutrients grow from, where the sap gets transferred from the vine into the branch. And Jesus is introducing to the disciples, you've got to abide in me. Come after me, follow me, and I'll give you rest, is what he communicated in Matthew. But then he communicates this concept here, this night before he goes to the cross, abide in me. It was so important that after they had the Lord's Supper, these guys all got up and Jesus took them at night through the city streets, walked down these streets up into this particular area where this vineyard was, gathers these guys around potentially by some kind of lantern or some kind of light, and begins to engage them in this discourse of the vine and the branches and fruit. Again, the importance of that story, that Jesus used this living illustration to demonstrate the profound resource and the profound necessity of that connection. Of that connection. Your connection with Jesus, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is imperative. How you relate to God. And I stand here as well, as it's so easy for me to find Christ in the Scripture, find the Spirit in what I'm reading, get a revelation of that, put my Bible down, and go about my day. Come back in my devotional time, my prayer time, my study time, and abide again, and go away. And throughout my day, my schedule, my responsibilities, if I'm not careful, those things will eat me up, and I'll miss out on this abiding thing. I believe what the Lord is communicating to us here is that we don't have to have a gap from our devotional time, or from a Sunday morning church service, or from connecting with the Spirit, then go about our day and then come back. And there's these gaps, so to speak, in our relationship. I believe there's a place that we can get where we're in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit, where we're in relationship with Him, because that's the place to where we produce fruit in our life. That's the place where our life will manifest this fruit. If you're here and you're struggling, wondering, how can I find more purpose? How can I find freedom from this addiction? How can I find freedom from this unforgiveness? Or how I'm not, so I don't walk in grudges. If somebody steps on my toe, I carry it for 2 days. Or I'm frustrated at my spouse because they say this or I said that, and there's all of this sharpness in my life. How can I walk in a place of grace? How can I walk in a place of freedom? It's to abide. It's to abide. It's to fall in love with Jesus again and build relationship with Him and find that initial connection, and don't leave that gnarl. Don't leave that spot where the vine is connected to the branches. That spot, that place right there is the place. That's the place of abiding, is where the branch meets the vine, is where you meet Jesus. That's the place. That's the place. Not just where you get into the Word and get some thought and get some understanding of what that means and get thrilled about what you read. That's important. But if we're ever going to sustain that revelation that we received in a quiet spot, it's only going to be sustained through an ongoing relationship that we have with the Spirit. Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. If there is no vine, there will be no branches. If there's no branches, there will be no fruit. John 15:5 says, from apart from me, you can do nothing. We must learn to find that abiding relationship in Christ, where Jesus begins to supply us with the proper nutrients. That word abide, made up of three concepts: a place, made up of time frame, and made up of a condition. See, when we get born again, we get regenerated, new spirit. Now we have the ability to fellowship with God, in relationship with. That He released His Holy Spirit on us, and we have this renewal, this renewing power through the Holy Spirit, where He brings life and begins to renew us. And this third piece of abiding is where we live and we sustain both that regeneration that we have and that renewing power of the Holy Spirit. We live in that spot of abiding. Abiding is the key to a fruit-producing life ongoing. It speaks of this first concept of a place, remaining in a place of unbroken fellowship where we don't leave that place. But consider this, what is it that bumps you and I out of that place from time to time? What is it that bumps you and I out? Is it fear? Is it sin? Personal secrets that we keep that we feel end up feeling guilty and depart from this abiding relationship? Is it a busy schedule that keeps us, that bumps us out of this spot from time to time? What is it that allows us to be removed from this sweet spot of relationship that manifests into fruit production? What is it that does it? Adversity, insecurity, always something that attempts to bump us out of that spot. I want to encourage you, when those things come, to look at it in one of two things. Either there's some kind of discipline here and I need to repent of something. I need to repent of being irresponsible. I need to repent of some sin in my life. Or I need to ask God to come into this area and fix this spot. A need for discipline in my life. Or there's something else happening, a time of pruning in my life. Can I be vulnerable with you just for a minute? You don't like that, do you? My daughter's getting married in about 3 weeks. I'm absolutely proud of both Matt and Maggie. They have been a joy in this last 3 years. Yesterday there was a celebration, I believe it's called a wedding shower, and showed this video of the courtship and their relationship and explained that and of what the Lord's done in their life and that whole thing. It's been absolutely special. But the other day I was praying and I heard the Lord say this to me, "Doug, I want your daughter. I give me your kids." And, you know, it was kind of like, I never thought that was an issue. They're yours. But I began to understand that there's a process of a letting go, of a pruning. So it's nothing that I've done wrong. It's nothing that I need to repent of. But it's something the Lord is literally coming and he wants to cut this branch off. Goes something like that, right? Break that branch, trim that branch back so it can produce more fruit. I've got trees in my yard. I've shared these things over and over. But I've got this one particular branch I've mentioned to you in my backyard. It's one of the, on my tree, it's a jacaranda tree or a jacaranda. I think that's what they really call it, a jacaranda. Sorry, did I get some on you? And you know, these trees, they'll grow and they'll develop little suckers, little sprigs that grow out the base of them. And I come through and I'll pull these things off and keep all of that clean. So just the branches I want to grow will grow. But I've got this one sucker that started growing out a couple of years ago, small. And I went up to pull it and I go, "No, I'm going to let that one roll." And so now it's been a couple of years and that thing is about 6-7 foot long, and I've got a tie down onto it, and this tree wants, the branches just want to grow straight up. So I got this branch growing straight out sideways. Never done this before. I don't know how that's going to work out eventually. I hope it doesn't break, but I've been slowly putting pressure and strain on it so it'll bend, and that where it connects to the trunk, there's becoming a gnarb. Can you say gnarb? It's a gnarb. Or a gnarl. It's this spot right there that's getting stronger, but the branch is flexing. Why am I doing this? Because I got vision someday for grandkids to swing on that branch. I have a picture of a tire swing or something like that growing. If not, it'll be a hummingbird feeder shelf, you know? Either way, I'm going to get some benefit from it. But I'm trying to develop something. I'm trying to grow this thing and allow this process. But what happens with us is the Lord will come at times. If we're not being disciplined by Him, then we're being pruned by Him. When circumstances come to our lives, be it insecurity, be it fear, be it sin, or be it just time to grow, time to let certain relationships go. As Henry Cloud calls it, necessary endings. This time to where certain things in our life just need to be done and a new chapter come about. It's not because you did anything wrong. It's because you've done something right. And the Lord is looking to produce more fruit from your life. But what that feels like to you and I is painful. Even discipline, we're being disciplined by the Lord because of some behavior or some pattern in our life. When He disciplines us, it's painful. But it's because we've done something that doesn't please the Father and doesn't honor the Father. So He wants to raise us up, and He disciplines those whom He loves, doesn't He? He punishes, He chastens us. And he'll confront us and deal with our sin because He's absolutely in love with you and I. He'll chase you down. He'll torment you. And I mean that in the best of way. But it sometimes comes across and manifests in our life and it doesn't feel good. Because if we've got some difficulty in our life, He'll chase us down. And this will be a nonstop thing because He loves you. So the question is, do you have anything in your life that is tumultuous? You know, God protect the people right now in kind of Northern California area. They're just being inundated with fire. I watched a video just this morning, actually, a clip of this man in his car, and he was with his cell phone filming from the driver's seat, and he kept saying, "Oh my God, I'm surrounded by fire." And he's running his camera like this in his phone, and fire was all around his vehicle. And he's in his neighborhood, and he's going, "Oh my God, I'm surrounded by fire." And as I think about that, you know, my heart goes out to those families and the lives. I think 25 were lost just recently, you know, yesterday they discovered. But this thing, we'll get surrounded by fire. We'll get surrounded by adversity in times of our life. And if you don't know what to do with that adversity, if you don't know what's happening, our tendency is just to fetal up and just to quit at times. We don't know what to do with it. It's just painful. Relationships begin to suffer around us. Our purpose in Christ begins to wane. If we don't understand the difference between being disciplined and being pruned, we'll end up falling back. If even pruning comes to your life and it's misunderstood, we'll fall back sometimes in disappointment, in discouragement, and we'll disconnect from the vine. And then there becomes a cycle, and the Lord's got to discipline us again to get us back growing once again. It's imperative that we understand if the Lord's pruning us, or He's disciplining us from something. But to understand what knocks us out of the box, what causes us to not produce fruit in our lives anymore, what happens when we get disconnected from the vine, what is it? But the Lord's looking to bring us to a place to where we can understand His ways and know how He moves within us to bring us to a place of fruit production. He's looking to purify our motive, bring honor to God. He's looking to produce fruit, bear much fruit in our lives, and to bring this whole thing around and around again so we can stay in a fruit productive place. Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take upon my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, to run in such a way that you might win. Jesus is telling us, come to me and I'll give you rest. Learn from me and I'll bring you rest. There's two rests in Matthew. Come to me and I'll bring salvation. I'll bring freedom to you. Remain in me. Learn of my ways. Become a student and I'll bring rest to your soul. A whole nother kind of rest. That's that abiding kind of rest. That where we live in Christ and we have our being in Him and we're connected and staying connected. Sometimes, I believe it's like a like Morse code. There's these dashes and dots that send some form of communication in regards to relationship, and the Lord is looking for a solid line. But there's these dashes and dots sometime in our communication, in our relationship. And the Lord, I believe, has given us an invitation to stay, be renewed, be refreshed, and come to that place where there's a solid line, no gaps in our intimacy with Christ, no gaps in our relationship. Is that the relationship that the Lord's calling you to? Is that the place of intimacy and connectivity that the Lord is calling you to? If so, is it time to tighten up the battery cables and give her a whirl? Start it up. Take it for a run. You know what I mean? I'm being playful. But that place of connection, that place of unity, that place to where we learn to run in such a way. We live our lives in such a way. Paul's talking like an athlete here. Run in such a way that you might win. Someone who has trained and learned a skill and they become an expert at it. And when they function in it, it's now not out of a place of a conscious knowledge. Well, I got to do these steps in order to perform. If I'm a tennis player, in the heat of the match is not thinking about his backstroke or front strokes. It's just automatic. It's just absolutely automatic. It just flows out of prep time and training time. Now it just comes out. It's not really, the knowledge of it is not even aware. It's just manifest out of being connected. That's what happens when we get connected with God. If you've got areas in your life, you're saying, Lord, I've been working on this for so long. I've been trying to figure this out. The answer is to abide. The answer is to abide, because when we abide, then we become disciples, we become students, and we begin to learn of Him and take upon His yoke. His burden is light and it's easy, and we can walk in that, and He'll bring rest to us when we find that place of abiding. We find that place of connection. Abiding is time, it's a place that's not stuttered of erratic time, but it's nourished by the vine, a time that's full of expectancy for faith, expectancy for rest, expectancy for maturity. Acts 1:4 gives us this glimpse. Gathering them together, Jesus commanded them, do not leave this place. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. So Jerusalem is the place. Don't leave this place, but wait time for what the Father's promised, which He has said, you have heard of me. And then Acts 1:8. And if you do this, basically, Acts 1:8, you'll receive power. And when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. That's the place. That's the spot where we spend time. It's going to require time for you and I to grow. Just like a branch in a vine can't be detached. If it's detached, it won't produce. You can cut some roses, put them in a vase for a few days, put some water and some nutrients in the water, and they'll live a little while, but they won't sustain being detached from the vine. You know what I mean? They won't sustain. We've got to stay connected. We've got to stay in relationship if we're going to produce fruit. John 6:57, he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. An illustration of food. You can't survive without being sustained in this way of nourishment. We just like regular food, we take in. You can't just take a mass of food at the beginning of the month and be good to go. You know, you'd be That'd be a miserable day if you had to meet all your calories in a day. Holy buckets. You can't do it. Did that come a little slow? A little giggling here and there? You can't do it. You've got to eat throughout the day. You've got to eat throughout the weeks. You've got to eat consistently. Jesus is saying that. If you eat of me repetitively, if you're consistent in abiding with me over and over, you're going to have life. This is how life comes. It's through this connection and through this relationship of abiding. Of abiding. That's where we're looking to be and we're looking to remain. And the third point, and final, is this: a condition. To maintain attachment to the vine is not to become detached, but it's unity that's the condition of growth. Unity with Christ, unity in the Spirit is the condition necessary for growth. Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Abide in me, and you'll find freedom. You'll walk in victory." Galatians 3:3, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" This thing in us that begun in the Spirit, it's got to continue in a spiritual walk. But it's so easy, I think, for some to misplace and to separate from, get a revelation of, and then move on. And then realize, this rose is beginning to wilt. I need to find attachment. But God's so faithful, He'll pursue us, doesn't He? And He calls us into a place of devotion, calls us into a place of intimacy. How do we do that? How do we get there? It's learning to abide. It's relating repeatedly. It's coming to Christ and learning how to give Him everything over and over again. Not just at certain junctures, not just at certain events, but a lifestyle of relating to and connecting with. Marty, can you come up? Can we stand, please? I had these folks, it's about 10 years ago, ask me if I'd do a wedding for them. And these were friends of mine that were unchurched. And they asked me, "Hey, will you do this wedding for us? And we want you to do it inside the house because we believe that it'll be kind of a cleansing, kind of a restart here if you do this wedding inside my house." And I get that. We've done house cleansings. We've ministered to folks and families and prayed over their houses. But the difference was these folks weren't Christian. And it was obvious and known, but it was an opportunity for me to share the gospel with them, of which I did. And I said to them, "Hey, I'm happy to come to your home. And I'm happy to do this wedding inside your house. But I want you to know, just like when you flip the lights on in an alleyway or something and you see all these critters run off, they go hide. I said, I can run the bugs out because what I'm going to bring is light. But if you don't find Christ and aren't able to sustain that light, all those critters are going to come back when the light's out again. So I encourage you to get the light of Christ. I encourage you to stay connected to the vine. And I encourage you to find life in Jesus Christ." So today, as a question I have for you, do you want this abiding relationship? If you want that abiding relationship in Christ, I want to ask you to respond by moving out of your seats, coming forward. If you're here and there's something specific that's hindering you from maintaining or even achieving that connection with Christ, you come. And also, if you're here and you've never made a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted Him into your heart and to become born again, I want to give you that opportunity. You come and see myself or Dylan or someone else on our ministry team, and we'd be happy to introduce you to Jesus. We're going to worship just for a few minutes, and then we're going to release ministry.